First, a recent bipartisan poll shows that many Americans are concerned about the state of our democracy. 8 in 10 of those surveyed said they're either very or somewhat worried about the future of representative government in America, and 68% believe democracy is getting weaker. James Holman is a national political correspondent for The Washington Post. He's also the author of The Daily 202 for The Washington Post, where he wrote about the results of this poll. James, welcome to Central Time.
Great to be with you, Rob.
Well, tell us a little bit about this poll. It's Freedom House, which studies democracy around the world, and then a couple of names from both sides of the partisan spectrum.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Two notable names teamed up. Joe Biden, the former vice president, and George W. Bush from his presidential library, both signed on to this project. They hired an impressive group of Republican and Democratic pollsters to work with Freedom House. And typically, Freedom House does really sophisticated academic studies in places like Zimbabwe to monitor attitudes about democracy, whether authoritarianism is on the rise or the decline. And this time, they felt like they needed to do this kind of exploration in the United States. And the
I think we've lost our Skype connection with James Holman. Not hearing him right now. Talking to James Holman from The Washington Post about this survey on democracy and attitudes toward it in the United States, whether people fear for the future of representative government in the country. You can join in at 888-202. No, that's the pledge drive number. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Are you concerned? Do you think that democratic norms are being eroded in America? Do you worry about the future? Is it important to you to live in a democracy? And let's, definition-wise, the general notion of representative government, the broad definition in the dictionaries, as we hopefully reconnect with our guest, James Holman. James, can you hear me? James, are you there? Nope. So we'll try to reconnect with him. In the meantime, I'd love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. This poll found concerns, worries about the future of representative government in the United States, but pretty positive attitudes toward it, though variation by generations along the way. I'll remind you that we've got a special coming up on Sunday afternoon with our colleagues at the CBC in Canada, looking at trade and tariffs, big issues in Wisconsin, big issues in Canada as well, in manufacturing, dairy, and more. You can weigh in with your thoughts on that issue at 833-424-3327. That's 833-424-3327. Do you see tariffs affecting you now or in the future? What do you think of the way President Trump is handling trade issues? Do you have thoughts on the Canadian side of things? Call our callback line and share your thoughts at 833-424-3327. Now we will hopefully soon continue our conversation about this new survey on the state of democracy here in the United States. And you can call in 800-642-1234. Take a short break now. Hopefully things will go better afterward. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. James Holman is with us, national correspondent and author of The Daily 202, The Washington Post political newsletter, looking at a bipartisan poll, looking at attitudes toward representative government, democracy in America. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have confidence in the future of representative government in the United States? James, we have you back with us. Let's get back into this poll now. What were some of the main findings about Americans' hopes and fears? And James is gone again. Okay. I don't know what's going on at the Washington Post or at our end. Let's take some of your calls now. We have Monte on the line in West B. Hi.
Hi there.
What did you want to bring up?
I'd just like to say I'm a long-term Democrat / independent. And during this last election, it was just very disappointing to me how the DNC kind of rigged the election against Bernie. And I think Bernie would have easily beaten Trump in the overall election, only the DNC didn't allow it to happen, which I felt to be very undemocratic. And, yeah, so that's how I feel about it.
All right. Thanks for your call at 800-642-1234. Looking for your thoughts on the future of democracy in America, a survey asked people, what they thought. Okay, I think we have James Holman with us this time. James, do we have you?
I'm here.
Okay.
I don't know what was going on.
Me neither, but let's just go with it. This survey, there were fears among many Americans across the political spectrum. What kind of things were we hearing from Americans when they were asked about the future of democracy?
Americans don't have confidence like they used to that democracy is necessarily sustainable or as important as they used to think it was. There were a lot of different ways they tried to get at those questions. One way was asking on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is democracy? Older folks tend to say 10, most important thing. Younger people, not so much. Also, there's less confidence in democracy as the best form of government among minority communities, among other disadvantaged communities, people with lower incomes, because they feel like they've been left behind. And there's kind of this feeling that the system is failing them, and that's creating a crisis of confidence and potentially a crisis of legitimacy. And it's something both Bush and Biden are very worried about.
And one of the questions asked specifically about, is the United States in danger of becoming a non-democratic authoritarian country? What kind of things did people say?
Yeah, a lot of people think it is. A lot of people, a growing number, even compared to a couple of years ago, think that there's a real risk that we're going to lose our democracy altogether. And some of that, is people who dislike Donald Trump think he's a bad guy, think he's an authoritarian. That there's definitely some of that, but there's something deeper in the numbers, and it to some degree crosses party lines. Even people who approve of the president worry that our system is much more fragile. And not that many years ago, there was the sense that we could get through rough times, bad times. We made it through the 2008 financial crisis. No one was worried we were going to devolve into an authoritarian government, which was a fear during the Great Depression in the 1930s. But there's the sense that we can't necessarily count on keeping the system that we are so accustomed to.
One common theme, it looks like, that came up in focus groups and the surveys, a lot of people worried about the influence of money in politics, and more broadly, the idea that the wealthy and influential had more influence on the actions of government than everyday people.
A lot of Republicans felt that, too. It's really notable that just the Citizens United decision, the floodgates have opened with so much money pouring into politics, and people really have this sense, and they're not necessarily wrong, that the rich are more represented by government than they are. And that feeds the sense that democracy is not working for them, that it's not really a true democracy, because if you're rich, you can have access to politicians to a greater degree than normal folks. And so that came up. They asked 14 different issues. They said, how important is this? Do you think, they asked a lot of kind of, do you think this or this A, B situation? And money in politics and race issues really came to the top of the pile in terms of what people feel like is putting the democracy at risk.
Yeah, we heard from D on Facebook, who said, nothing but money seems to matter anymore. Now, I'm kind of curious about your perspective on this, because you're really in the daily grind of Washington politics, James. And what's it like to step back and see these bigger picture issues? Is this something that politicians in D.C. are thinking about and aware of?
People know that there's a crisis of legitimacy, Republicans and Democrats, because you have to remember, no Republican in Washington, D.C. thought Donald Trump was going to win. And the Republican establishment, as it's often called, was really just taken aback by the Trump movement, the strength of his support. And it's funny now, because Trump hasn't done anything on campaign finance, but a huge part of his appeal in 2015 and 2016 was, I'm not like those guys in Washington, and I can't be bought and paid for because I have so much money, I don't need donors. And that resonated with a lot of voters. I remember covering Trump rallies across the country, including in Wisconsin, and hearing that over and over again. And so I think there's a real sense among D.C. insiders that something is broken. They can't quite understand it, and everyone always wants to explain dysfunction, with their politically preferred solution. but I think this poll validates what everyone is seeing, which is clearly there's still a great unease in the country. And, if you think about it, this might be another change election in 2018. Historically in the United States, you've obviously had change elections, but 2006, 2008, 2010, 2014, 2018, all of those could be years when control of one body of Congress flips. And that just captures what I think we're seeing in this poll, which is people feel like the democracy, the system that we live in, isn't serving them. And that is, it creates a host of long-term problems for the country, especially because democracy legitimately is in retreat across the world.
Talking to James Holman from The Washington Post about American attitudes toward representative government, to democratic ideals. Big new survey looks at it, finds people worried across the country, across the political spectrum. Let's go to your calls now. Michael is with us in Green Bay. Michael, hi.
Hi, thank you.
What do you want to bring up, Michael?
I believe that right now, obviously, is a super divisive time in our country, and there's strife across the world. And as you just said, there is a receding feeling of democracy across the world, and people feel underrepresented. But I feel like there's hope for the future, because as you look at the young people in this nation and around the world, you see progressive ideology and hope in their eyes. And I think, you know, every generation as they come up through the world affects change in their own way. But I really think as millennials and Generation Z come through that we will see significant and lasting change.
And Michael, can I ask what generation you are, you're part of, or consider yourself part of?
I consider myself part of the millennial generation.
Okay, Michael, thank you so much. So kids these days, James, are the hope for the future, he says.
Well, yeah, and you know, and Michael has an important point.
And the kids are all right. We saw the activism after the shooting in Parkland, Florida. We've seen people get engaged. And I think there's sort of a generation of people who are a little cynical about politics. There were a lot of people who supported Barack Obama in 2008. And felt like he didn't fundamentally transform our nation's politics as they had hoped for. And I think maybe became more realistic, more pragmatic about what was achievable. I think there were a lot of people who supported Trump in 2016 who thought that he would really change Washington, and he has not in a lot of ways. And so I think it's inspiring sometimes to look at the millennial generation, but there's also a lot of people who I think have been very hopeful and have become embittered or cynical because of the failure of politicians in both parties in Washington to address a lot of our intractable, big, pressing national problems.
Thanks for that call. We'll go next to Dave in Chippewa Falls. Dave, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Dave?
Well, I had the honor of serving in the state legislature 25 years ago for a couple of terms. And one of the big things you're talking about, you know, representative democracy. People, I think, need to understand that you elect these people. You go to the polls. You elect them to represent you, to speak for you. And if you don't go to the polls, don't bitch. Okay? And it just frustrates me so much because I hear from people I know don't even bother to vote. And this, you don't have time to research the issues. This is what you elect people to do. We can have discourse, but you know something? When it all comes down to it, we have the same goal at the end.
Dave, thanks a lot for the call. Former legislator there, James, he sees maybe people disengaged from the electoral process, but still ready to complain about the outcomes.
Right. And he's right about the point that their turnout was lower in, you know, Mitt Romney got more votes in Wisconsin, I'm pretty sure, than Donald Trump did. And he lost Wisconsin to President Obama by like 7 points. And it's because turnout was much lower, and it's because people were checked out and disenthused. People don't feel like their vote makes a difference. And those are things that really worry people who genuinely care on across the ideological spectrum about protecting our democracy, because if people don't feel like their vote is going to count, it is a huge problem, because it means that they're not going to necessarily respect the duly elected governments who lead them. And we're seeing elections have consequences. You know, that's I know there were a lot of people in Wisconsin in 2016 who didn't vote because they didn't like Hillary Clinton, perhaps. And Ron Johnson got elected, and whatever you think of Ron Johnson, as we heard some sound a minute ago, he is a key vote on the Supreme Court. If Ron Johnson wasn't in the Senate right now, if Russ Feingold was, Trump would have to nominate a much more moderate Supreme Court justice nominee in order to get them confirmed, because Republicans only have 51 seats, and, you know, and Democrats have 49. And so those races in 2016 were so close, and it is a sign, if they needed any more, that people's votes really do count. And when people check out of the process and lose faith, it sort of almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Dave, thanks for that call. We'll go next to Don with us in Rhinelander. Don, hi.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, I guess I have 4 points that kind of have me not being so faithful with thinking that democracy will last very long. And the first one, a couple you already hit on, one being the campaign finance reform being gone, and the fact that big money seems to be having the rule of the day. The second one kind of being that the gerrymandering, there's a lot of districts where I think people's vote doesn't count anymore. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, you have the, again, investigative reporting. Just, you know, when somebody tries to come up with something that appears to be a little bit negative, it gets shot down right away. And then the last thing, which kind of encompasses them all, is, and again, it's probably big money and or local governments, but you have such things as the campaign finance reform, which, if I understand right, big money was able to go in there and find loopholes or find things in it that, even though it was considered legal and it would pass the test of the Supreme Court at one time, they could find loopholes and have lawyers that would be able to pick it apart and finally get it thrown out.
Don, thanks a lot for the call. We also heard from Brandy on Facebook, who also mentioned the gerrymandering, dark money, and what she says is a slow decline of checks and balances weakening the republic. Don had a lot there for us, James. He talked about the media a little bit, and that was covered in this survey. And this is where you saw a bigger partisan divide when asked about problems. You mentioned that they listed a bunch of issues, a big divide over the role of the media itself.
Yeah, and the media's credibility matters. You know, we're only as strong as our reputation, and it is important. There obviously is a crisis of confidence, and it's an institution that doesn't have the same trust overall as it used to. Obviously, the media is not a monolith. You and I work for more respectable, trustworthy institutions, although some people don't necessarily think that. And so it's important that the press do investigative reporting. Our slogan at the Washington Post is that democracy dies in darkness, and we think one hallmark of strong democracies is a strong free press, and we're trying to do our part no matter who's in charge. And one of the problems, I think, is that the president goes around calling the press fake news when the stories are accurate. And so his supporters sort of become habituated to not trust the press. And then when there are important stories, people don't know who to trust. And the fact that people aren't sort of universally accepted as honest brokers, umpires trying to call balls and strikes, is deleterious for our democracy.
Thanks for the call. Go next to Ron in Norwalk. Ron, hi.
Yeah, hi, Rob. I just wanted your guest comment on, I think, there's a line being blurred between capitalism, which is an economic system, and democracy, which is a governing system. And they seem to be kind of blending together. And I just wanted to get your comment from your guest on that. Thank you.
That's a good point. It's a great point. We're sort of a capitalistic system. When you look at someone like Bernie Sanders, people often call him a socialist, but Bernie likes to be called a democratic socialist because he believes in democracy and kind of more robust government performing more services. And, you know, one of the interesting things is the last time our democracy was really, truly under threat was the 1930s, when it was kind of under threat from the right and the left. People didn't think that democracy could handle the problems of the Great Depression. And the New Deal, which was in some ways, it's widely dismissed at the time as socialism, was kind of a much more robust government, was crucial to save the democratic system. So a move away from unfettered laissez-faire capitalism, and you could end up certainly seeing something like that again.
Thanks for that call. As we wrap up, the survey also looked at messaging about what might inspire people to embrace democratic ideals, maybe, again, and not the Democratic Party, but the spirit of representative government, and the idea of use it or lose it. Exercise your rights or you'll lose them seemed to be the most appealing to people.
And it sort of makes sense, right? you didn't have a use it or lose it situation. You've got to participate, as one of the callers said. If you don't vote, you don't count, unfortunately. And it is a good way to motivate people. Winston Churchill said, democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the others. Obviously, our system's imperfect. People win and lose elections. People get angry. We have more and more partisanship, and a lot of times less civility. But if you participate, you can be the change, even if you don't always get the outcome you want, to be a part of the process and to have people feel buy-in. And that was a consistent theme that came up in a lot of these focus groups and the polls that they did around the country. And the Bush folks and the Biden folks say that they're going to continue to work together on initiatives to that spirit going forward.
Thanks a lot to James Holman from The Washington Post joining us to talk about this survey on American attitudes toward representative government. You can keep sharing your thoughts on the Ideas Network Facebook page.